Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2018-2019 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Friday and Saturday, September 21st and 22nd at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This all-Beethoven concert will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The featured guests for this performance will be pianist Andrew Tyson and the North Carolina Master Chorale with the North Carolina Symphony Resident Chorus. The program for these performances will be as follows. The symphony begins with Beethoven's Overture to Fidelio, Opus 72. Next, the symphony performs the Rondo for piano and orchestra in B-flat major, and this will feature guest pianist Andrew Tyson. And then, for the third piece in this program, the symphony performs the Choral Fantasy in C minor, Opus 80. This one, again featuring Andrew Tyson as the pianist, along with the North Carolina Master Chorale. And then, following the intermission, the symphony returns with Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67. I'll begin our reading of the program notes with the biography of our music director, Grant Llewellyn. Grant Llewellyn is renowned for his exceptional charisma, energy, and easy authority in music of all styles and periods. A native of Tenby, South Wales, Llewellyn won a conducting fellowship to the Tanglewood Music Center in Massachusetts in 1985, where he worked with conducting legends Leonard Bernstein, Seiji Ozawa, Kurt Mazur, and Andre Previn. As assistant conductor of the Boston Symphony Orchestra in the early 1990s, he conducted at the Tanglewood Music Festival and on classical series and Boston Pops concerts. Llewellyn has conducted many orchestras in North America, most notably the symphonies of Atlanta, Boston, Houston, Milwaukee, Montreal, Philadelphia, St. Louis, and Toronto. As music director of the Handel and Haydn Society, America's leading period orchestra, he gained a reputation as a formidable interpreter of music of the Baroque and classical periods. Music director of the Orchestra Symphonique de Bretagne since 2015, Llewellyn has held positions with numerous other European orchestras, including principal conductor of the Royal Flanders Philharmonic, principal guest conductor of the Stavanger Symphony Orchestra, and associate guest conductor with the BBC National Orchestra of Wales. Recent guest engagements include the BBC Symphony Orchestra, Helsinki Philharmonic, Orchestra Sinfonica de Porto Casa de Musica, Philharmonia Orchestra, Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, and the Royal Scottish National Orchestra, among others. An accomplished opera conductor, Llewellyn's recent productions include the U.S. premiere of Handel's Richard the Lionheart with the Opera Theater of St. Louis and Fidelio with the Opera de Rennes. Llewellyn has led the North Carolina Symphony in four critically acclaimed recordings, most recently Britten's Cello Symphony and Prokofiev's Sinfonia Concertante, both with cellist Zuel Bailey. A fifth album with the North Carolina Symphony featuring Zuel Bailey and violist Roberto Diaz in Strauss's Don Quixote will be recorded live in Raleigh's Maymandy Concert Hall in spring 2019. Deeply committed and passionate about engaging young people with music, Llewellyn regularly leads education activities with the North Carolina Symphony and around the world. In 2017, he led the first-ever relaxed BBC prom with the BBC National Orchestra of Wales, a concert specially designed for those with autism, sensory and communications impairments, and learning disabilities. Now here are the notes about our guest pianist for this concert, Andrew Tyson. Andrew Tyson's 2017-18 season took him throughout the United States and Europe. Highlights included his Vienna Concert House debut with the Haydn Philharmonic Orchestra and a performance with the Orchestra della Svizzera Italiana under the baton of Vladimir Ashkenazy. Recipient of a 2013 Avery Fisher Career Grant, Tyson was laureate of the 2013 Queen Elizabeth Competition and captured first prize at the 2015 Concours Geisa Anda Competition, where he was also awarded the Mozart and Audience Prizes. His engagements as soloist include the Moscow Virtuosi Chamber Orchestra, the National Orchestra of Belgium, Orchestra of St. Luke's, Las Vegas Philharmonic, Edmonton Symphony, and the Louisville Orchestra. His previous performances with the North Carolina Symphony include concerts opening the 2015-16 season in New Bern, Southern Pines, and Wilmington. Tyson is a laureate at the 2012 Leeds International Piano Competition, where he won the new Terence Judd Halla Orchestra Prize. His initial engagement with the Halla Orchestra has led to an ongoing relationship and several performances with the orchestra. In 2013, Tyson gave his New York recital debut in the Young Concert Artists series at Merkin Concert Hall. As winner of the Young Concert Artists International Auditions in 2011, Tyson was awarded Young Concert Artists Paul A. Fish Memorial Prize and the John Browning Memorial Prize. Tyson made his orchestral debut at the age of 15 as winner of the Eastern Music Festival Concerto Competition. After early studies with Dr. Thomas Otten of the University of North Carolina, he attended the Curtis Institute of Music. He later earned his master's degree and artist diploma at the Juilliard School, where he won the Gina Backhauer Piano Competition and received the Arthur Rubinstein Prize in Piano. Andrew Tyson's debut recital disc comprises the complete Chopin Preludes. His second album, released in 2017, features works by Scriabin and Ravel. And now, before we begin the actual program notes, here is some background on the North Carolina Master Chorale that will be performing on these concerts. One of the major choral organizations of the Southeast, the North Carolina Master Chorale has been performing choral orchestral masterworks for more than 75 years. The Master Chorale boasts two renowned ensembles, a 170-voice symphonic choir, and a 22-voice professional chamber choir, with a diverse repertoire from Renaissance to contemporary music. Its singers, selected by audition, bring a collective wealth of training and experience. The Master Chorale is the resident chorus of the North Carolina Symphony and regularly collaborates with symphony orchestras, opera and ballet companies, and touring productions. Music director and conductor Dr. Alfred E. Sturgis holds multiple degrees in music and performed with Robert Shaw in the U.S. and Europe. In addition to the Master Chorale, Sturgis serves as music director for the Carolina Ballet and the Tar River Philharmonic Orchestra. The organization received a Raleigh Medal of Arts in recognition of its rich heritage and numerous artistic contributions to the community. Founded as the Raleigh Oratorio Society in 1942, the Master Chorale has evolved into a major regional performing arts group that works with more than 250 artist musicians each season, reaching an annual audience of more than 10,000 choral arts enthusiasts. Now here are the program notes for this concert. The North Carolina Symphony begins with the Overture to Fidelio, Opus 72C, by Ludwig von Beethoven. Beethoven was born December 16, 1770, in Bonn, Germany. He died March 26, 1827, in Vienna. This work was composed in 1814, the first performance, May 26, 1814, in Vienna, conducted by the composer. Beethoven's only opera, Fidelio, underwent numerous major revisions before the composer arrived at the final version. The overture to the opera underwent even greater transformations. We have today four different overtures, all of them popular in the concert hall. The first three are called Leonore, numbers 1, 2, and 3, after the heroine's name and original title of the opera. The fourth is known as Fidelio, Leonore's pseudonym and Beethoven's final title of the opera. The complex plot is a paean to marital fidelity and political justice. Leonore disguises herself as a young man, Fidelio, to free her husband Florestan, who has been incarcerated unjustly as a political prisoner. Beethoven's difficulties with the earlier versions of the overture, the three entitled Leonore, stemmed from the fact that they were too dramatic and explicit. Following the trajectory of the plot by including themes from the opera, thereby giving away the most dramatic and exciting moments. The final version, the Fidelio Overture, is neither particularly dramatic nor closely related to the opera itself. Today, the opera is frequently performed with the Fidelio Overture before the opera and Leonore No. 3 as an interact between the two acts. This work was written for two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, trombone, bass trombone, timpani, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony will perform the Rondo for Piano and Orchestra in B-flat major, and this is numbered No. 6 in works without actually an opus number. And this was written by Beethoven in 1793, and the date of the first performance is unknown. Here's the overview. In addition to the approximately 140 works Beethoven dignified with an opus number, he left behind more than 200 long and short compositions that he chose not to enter into his canon. Occasionally, however, when short of money, he pulled out one of these and sent it to the publisher. Subsequently, these works were compiled in the catalog of Beethoven's works by Georg Kinsky, who added them under the heading WOO, Werk ohne Opuszahl, which basically means works without opus number. And that's why it's considered works without opus number 6. Beethoven probably composed the Rondo in B-flat in 1793 as the final movement of the Piano Concerto No. 2, Opus 19, which was really composed before No. 1. He discarded it when he revised the concerto in 1795, but retained the manuscript, which was found among his papers after his death and finally published in 1829. As was frequently the case with Beethoven, the piano part in the manuscript was left sketchy, and pianist Carl Czerny filled it in and edited it before publication. Now, here's what to listen for. We don't know exactly why Beethoven rejected this rondo. It contains some original elements that clearly set it apart from those of his contemporaries. The Music Box Rondo theme is unusual in that Beethoven dispenses with the conventional division into two repeated sections. Instead, he shifts into the minor mode that blends into the first episode. A very brief reference to the Rondo theme takes us into an episode in another universe with a slowing of tempo to andante and a change from 6/8 time to 2/4 time. Then it's back to the complete Rondo, concluding with a cadenza, which the composer probably would have improvised in performance. This work was written for solo piano, flute, two oboes, two bassoons, two horns, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony will perform the Choral Fantasy in C minor, Opus 80, by Beethoven. This will be performed with the guest pianist Andrew Tyson and also the North Carolina Master Chorale. This work by Beethoven was composed in 1808. The first performance was December 22, 1808, at the Imperial Court Theater in Vienna. Now here is the overview. In the early 19th century, concerts went on forever. A concert of Beethoven's works in the Imperial Theater in Vienna on December 22, 1808 was no exception. The program, which lasted 4 hours, included the premieres of the Fifth and Sixth Symphonies, the Fourth Piano Concerto, the concert aria A Perfido, some improvisations by the composer, 3 movements from the Mass in C major, and to top it all off, the choral fantasy, which Beethoven composed specially as a grand finale to the occasion. Now here's what to listen for. The choral fantasy was composed in haste, in less than 3 weeks, although parts of it dated from years earlier. The main theme is reminiscent of the finale of the Ninth Symphony, and Beethoven had already used it in 1794 for a song entitled Gegenlieb. It was one of those works without opus number, and it was number 118 in that category. Well, this, together with his treatment of the choral parts, makes the whole work sound like an early study for the Ninth Symphony. It opens with a solo piano introduction in improvisatory style, with a series of grand flourishes and tension-producing devices, anticipating the entrance of the main theme. In a later edition, the composer added strings to the opening, but one violin part was lost, and it is usually performed today by the piano alone. The introduction is followed by a theme and variations with hints of Viennese street music and the Turkish music craze of the time for the whole orchestra, introduced by the piano and followed by variations for flute, pairs of oboes, pairs of clarinets, and a string cornet before the whole orchestra joins the fray. Now, at this point, the piano returns to share the rest of the variations with the orchestra in the style of a concerto. Only after 3/4 of the piece is over do the soloists and chorus enter to conclude the work with the vocal recapitulation of all of the themes set to a poem in praise of music. The text is of doubtful parentage, probably the poet Christoph Kufner, who lived from 1780 to 1846, with significant input by the composer. Alternate versions exist for some of the lines. Now, this work was written for solo piano, 2 flutes, 2 oboes, 2 clarinets, 2 bassoons, 2 horns, 2 trumpets, timpani, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor, Opus 67. This work was composed between 1804 and 1808. The first performance was December 22, 1808, at the Imperial Theater in Vienna. Here is the overview. The 4 most cliched notes in classical music were once the most revolutionary. For the first time, a rhythm, rather than a melody, became the main subject of a symphonic movement, and not merely as a first theme to be stated and picked up again for a while in the development and recapitulation sections. Beethoven wove the rhythm into the entire fabric of the first movement, and subsequently into the rest of the symphony. The motif first appears as a repeated demand, subsequently expanded into a genuine melody in the first theme. It recurs as a throbbing accompaniment in bass and timpani in the second theme, all the way to the final cadence of the exposition. Such an original symphonic structure did not come easily, especially to a composer who lacked the ever-ready melodic genius of a Mozart, Bach, or Haydn, who all produced copiously on demand. A collection of the composer's sketchbooks bears witness to the lengthy and often painful gestations of some of his great music. The Fifth Symphony took 4 years to complete, between 1804 and 1808. But Beethoven had to eat, and during those 4 years, he also produced the Fourth Symphony, the Fourth Piano Concerto, the three Opus 59 string quartets, the Mass in C major, and the Violin Concerto. Now here's what to listen for. Because the Fifth Symphony is now so familiar, it is difficult to think of it as innovative. But it was not only the integration of the four-note rhythmic motif into the entire fabric of the first movement that was new. The second movement, Andante con moto, involves its own kind of novelty. It is made up of two short contrasting themes, the first in dotted rhythm in the strings, the second a slow, almost military theme in the brass. Beethoven produces from the two themes a double set of variations, and it should be noted that the second theme contains, in augmentation, longer note values, the germinal four-note rhythm of the first movement. Now, for the scherzo, Beethoven again prominently takes up the motivic rhythm in the horns, this time in augmentation. The trio is a fugue, and the repeat of the scherzo theme is scored for clarinet and bassoon, over pizzicato strings, playing pianissimo. Symphony No. 5 has frequently been referred to as a struggle from darkness to light. Not only does the symphony begin in C minor and end in C major, but also there's the magnificent transition between the third and fourth movements, a kind of sunlight breaking through the clouds, with violin stammering over the timpani as it throbs out the moto. The emergence in the triumphant finale paved the way for the symphonic writing of the future, including Beethoven's own Ninth Symphony, Mendelssohn's Third, or Scottish Symphony, and Brahms' First. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, bassett horns, two bassoons, contrabassoon, two horns, two trumpets, three trombones, timpani, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to program notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018-19 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the rest of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.